Live from Long Island, New York, it's the Loftus Party. Hey, I kind of did that. I kind of did my little homage to Saturday Night Live. The live from, I don't even know what neighborhood I'm in Long Island. It has been the craziest week. It's been the busiest week. It's been a very good week. We've got a great show for you. Right now, I want to talk about our guest. We got Paul Hare on the show, and you're like, who the hell is Paul Hare? Well, I'll tell you what, you see his name on a lot of the bylines for stuff on theloftusparty.com. He's got a great new book of short stories out, Appalling Stories 2. It's the sequel to, guess what, Appalling Stories 1. We're going to talk to him. It just occurred to me, his name is in the title, Paul Hare, Appalling Stories. So he'll be joining us in a little bit. We're going to talk to him. That's great. And then I want to say hello to all the new listeners. I want to say thank you to everyone who's like now friended us on Facebook, all the new YouTube subscribers. You guys, it's going very well. It's going very well. And I'll tell you this, the Patreon. We got a couple of people on Patreon, and that's fantastic. I can't thank you enough. And I'll tell you know who you are. You know who you are. But we need to figure out what your t-shirt size is, buddy. We got to figure out.
Or a mug, or a set of underpants, or pajamas.
Right. I'm gonna let him pick. I will reach out to you. But thank you to everyone who's contributing. It's super exciting because now there's actually like a little bit of there's some monies there. So I'm like, okay, so we could probably run an ad here and boost this, and it's very exciting. Soon we'll be buying office buildings. We'll be buying office buildings in downtown Los Angeles. And people are like, why do you still have a Patreon? You just bought an office building. And I'm like, shut up. So anyway, it's very exciting. Yeah, this is all, I just want to be upfront. It's all going back into promotions and desperately, desperately needed things to grow the site and grow awareness and all that stuff. So you're awesome people, and I love you. Okay, I don't want to like waste any more time. I'll give you my little update later as we go on throughout the show. I'm in New York. I was doing stand-up. I was hanging out with, well, I did Fox and Friends a couple times. I was in studio. That was super exciting. That was lots of fun. And if you watch the Fox and Friends, you got the Brian Kilmeade. He's a great dude. He came out to see me do stand-up. He came out to the Late Show on Friday at Governor's. But those people are, it's not an act. Like, you watch them in the morning, like, okay, they're super nice. But that Ainsley Earhart is, like, the nicest person on the planet. Steve Doocy, awesome dude. Like, I had a great time. And then I got invited back. I did the weekend show. Pete Hegseth, fantastic dude. And, oh, my gosh, I'm forgetting.
Jedediah Bela.
She's exactly what you think. She's fantastic. Ed Henry was a really great dude. I had an absolute blast. They asked me back for Monday, and I just I got a plane ticket. I'm going home. The Deplorable tour kicks off this later. So I sadly had to say that I couldn't do it. But I'd love to. I'd go in there. I'd love to be a member of the Fox and Friends family. They got a great coffee machine. The green room is awesome. There were donuts. I'm in. I don't know what else I need. So the big thing with those guys over the weekend, and I think most of America, was this Green New Deal from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and a couple of like real weirdos. And it's like the most ridiculous thing ever. My joke that I was doing for the latest YouTube video was like, did anybody like read this? Did anybody actually look at this before they released it to the public? Because it is just so insane. I mean, it's really crazy, nutso bonkers. And now they're saying that like there's counterfeit. Forged documents going around. Oh, we didn't really mean that.
Well, somebody did, I believe, forge one, the one about guys peeing in a cup, putting it out for so long, and then using it in their coffee. So anyway, I think there were some people, you know, LARPing on the document and making fun of it with really outrageous stuff. But yeah. the important piece that everybody kind of took issue with was the part where they said we needed to provide economic security for people who are unable unwilling to work.
Yeah.
That was the one that took a lot of heat and pushback. And now they're saying the whole thing, that all of that stuff was plagiarized or, you know, put up there. And it wasn't. I saw three different drafts of it, one from NPR, one on her website, and one from another document place. And it was all exactly the same.
And it's like, this seems to be like the reoccurring theme with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Do something ridiculous. And then when people go, that's ridiculous, she's like, ooh, you must be scared because you're picking on me. And it's like, no, like you're a moron. You're a moron. And so we're calling you a moron. Like we need, I'm pretty sure we need combustion engines. And like this whole, like, we're going to redo every building.
Yeah, that was actually in there. That wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, it was just absolutely bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely bonkers. And all of this, it's a race to get it done in 10 years because what, the Earth is going to end in 12?
Yeah. Here's
so we'll
my
have 2 good years.
I'm on a mission, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, I want to find out where they found this girl. How they decided she was going to run for office, because as friend of the show Andrew Clavin says, there is nothing more dangerous than a passionate, uninformed person in a pretty package. So she's deliberate, and none of these are her ideas. None of them.
Oh, really?
Most of these recommendations I can find in their most mature form in a document from a group called Data for Progress, who's one of their founders is Sean McElwee. And all of these ideas about getting rid of combustion engines, being net neutral on carbon emissions, all of the social justice stuff about having trees in the inner cities and making sure people have equal access to nature, that's all in this document. I didn't notice any direct cribbing, but all of the ideas are there. And that was put out in 2018.
But do you think that this is like someone has a great idea, or what, I'm not saying it's a great idea, but like someone thinks they have a great idea. They put it out there, no one listens. And then you see, oh my gosh, there's this cute little dancing socialist from the Bronx, and everyone's listening to her. So do you think maybe they just went to her and said, hey, if you want to dress this up and present it as your own, or do you think she, like, legit stole it?
I think she legit agreed to put it in when she was tapped to run. I also think that no, this wasn't somebody with a great idea in 2018. The Sunrise, what do they call themselves? Sunrise Movement, the one that's now kind of the repository and putting out who the sponsors were. They protested in Nancy Pelosi's office. They were the kids with the yellow signs.
Yeah.
If you remember that. Yeah. They formed in 2015 and one of the members of their board of directors was actually on the board of the Sierra Club. So what this is all the old, really leftist organizations morphing into new, hip, kind of funky, fun activist groups. But they're all funded from the same place.
And this is, they're the Sunrise? What's the name of the group?
The Sunrise Movement.
That's scary. That's right out of that's a terrifying. We're the Sunrise Movement. I wonder if you're a brother or a sister when you go in there. I'm a brother of the Sunrise
Movement. There is much work left to do.
There is much work to be done if you're a brother of the Sunrise. Can I look at your furnace? We've heard your neighbor said you had a combustion engine in your car.
Right.
Maybe look at the vehicle. Sunrise, stab him in the throat. He's an interloper. He's not using solar electronics.
Did you see that whack job on Tucker?
Oh.
From Media Matters? He looked high out of his gourd.
Was this the guy with the brown hair?
It looked the brown like hair pushed over. It was like Lyle Lovett, old school.
Yeah.
Yes.
That guy was deeply disturbing. Like, he was like a character. He's like the crazy mad scientist.
Mm-hmm.
He had wacky, wacky hair. And then his hands. He had like the hands of a 70-year-old man.
Well, and then his demeanor was just all like pod person.
Oh, yeah. That's a guy who can he can see the future. He can see the future, and he knows exactly what he needs to do, and why aren't you listening? And I don't have time to argue with you. We need to kill the babies. Those puppies, he was really, that guy's off his nut.
Yeah, he's from Media Matters.
Really?
Yes.
I thought he was like a professor of economics somewhere. I thought he was like a legit dude.
My understanding is he's at least a participant. He may be a professor of economics, but he's associated with Media Matters and has been a policy advisor to Miss Alexandra, occasionally cognizant. And,
I can just see her working as a bartender, and then he comes into the bar, and he's, like, hitting on her. And then, right, but he's doing it with his smarts. He's like, no, I'm actually a professor of green economics, and what we need to do to save the planet is blah, 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 because he thinks that's how he's going to get in her pants. And then she's like, oh, my God, you're so smart. You're awesome. Oh, my God. You know, if people like you and me could get together, we could really make a difference. I'm going to be a senator. I'm going to be a congresswoman. And then it's just like two morons that meet at a cocktail party. And now, actually, people are listening to them. It's really crazy.
So she graduated from Boston University in 2012.
Okay, good
then
for her.
Then she, like, disappeared for a while. Driving around the country, going to Standing Rock, volunteering for Bernie's campaign. There's no real record of anything substantive she did post-graduation until all of a sudden she's running for Congress. She ran into all these guys somewhere, whether it was on Bernie's campaign or at Standing Rock or something like that. I mean, she was legit sourced, and I want to find out, because my tinfoil hat's getting real tight, whether she was actually a resident of the Bronx before that, or if they put her there specifically to run against Donnelly.
I tell you what, it's weird, but I just got like the heebie-jeebies on that one, too. Because, no, for real, because you're out of college, you have all these ideas, you know you want to do something in politics, you're going, yeah, like you said, you're doing the Standing Rock, you're meeting these people, blah, 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 blah. It would not surprise me at all if people who knew the system a little bit better, mm-hmm. they knew the political landscape a little bit better, said, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Go get an apartment in the Bronx.
Yep.
And then you can do X, Y, and Z, and we will back you. That's not far-fetched at all. That's not crazy tinfoil hat theory. But here's the deal. It's like, she's very cute. She's got a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't have like the smarts.
Not at all.
She just can't deliver on the smarts. And like, and this is, it's a great example of like the difference between the left and the right. Every argument she makes is an emotional argument.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is like, it's not about the logic of it. It's about the morality of it. And these rich people. So it's always like this, you know, we need justice because it's the right thing to do, and justice is taking these people's money, and it's just these guys. It's just these guys, the tippy-tippy top, and then when they run out of those guys' money, they'll move down to the next, you know, tier. You know, it's like, okay, it's the billionaires, right? We're out of billionaires. Oh, it's the millionaires, mm-hmm. and they run out of millionaires. And then it's anybody who has some crap that she wants. It's really, it's crazy that it's this popular. It's crazy that it's seemingly this popular. Elizabeth Warren?
You know, I've seen some polling on the Green New Deal that this Data for Progress group did. 92% of Democrats and 64% of Republicans approve of these ideas. Not a chance. Not a chance. Not a chance if you were honest about them.
Well, like any of them. Like, you just start breaking them down, like, one by one, and, like, Am I, as a human being, am I for every building in our country being energy efficient? Yeah, in
sure.
theory. Right? But, like, the actual doing of it, it's like, all right, that's going to take some time. That's going to take some time. And I'm not going to fund it. I think the people who own those buildings have the people who have a vested interest in them being energy efficient. But, like, what, the government's going to come in and rebuild everything in 10 years? And, like, legitimately, like just the manpower on that, my God.
Well, that's how you do a federal jobs guarantee, Michael.
Yeah, whether you want a job or not.
Right.
You're going to get paid whether you're willing or unwilling to work.
Exactly. I'm a curious person, right?
Good for you. Stay curious.
So I did a little digging, and what I found, do you remember Solyndra?
Do I?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so I looked at that program, and it was available from 2009 to 2011 through the Department of Energy. And
okay.
It spent $36 billion in grants. It created maybe 10,000 jobs and affected energy consumption in 5 very limited geographic areas. So yes. Take those numbers and multiply them times the amount of dollars you would have to employ everyone, and then put these systems everywhere.
It's
mind-boggling.
Yeah, mind-bogglingly stupid, too. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't, and then ask yourself this, and this is like one of our little tips to how to win more arguments at dinner parties. Like, the government did not invent the light bulb.
No.
They didn't. That was just a dude who wanted to get rich,
mm-hmm.
right? That was like, the government doesn't invent. I, you know what? And then I always go back to NASA. Like,
well,
NASA,
no, but they didn't even invent that. That was IBM and a whole bunch of other companies. They outsourced so much of that to the private sector.
Yeah. However, but like, because of the necessity, and it's like you go back to, like, you know, NASA invented these pens that would work upside down and in zero gravity,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, Russia just used a pencil. But like, with NASA, we did get a lot of cool stuff out of that. Like,
sure.
the technology that IBM and other companies came up with, you know, because that's it. That's necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
Unfortunately, it cost an absolute fortune. It cost an absolute fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're catching up because you have dudes like Elon Musk who go, okay, NASA is just a giant boondoggle. And I love saying this. NASA is out of spacesuits. Like, they have a serious supply issue
mm-hmm.
with spacesuits. Now, if you think, if anybody wouldn't run out of spacesuits, it would be the one place that needs them. It's like, how can you run out of spacesuits? You're NASA. So the Green New Deal is fun to make fun of, but the thing is, it's like how it resonates with people. Even if the number isn't that big, it's still like, wow, so many people in this country are just willing to hand over everything to, they think the government knows better. You know,
well,
they
don't understand what it actually says. It's like, it goes back to the old thing that you and I say, does everybody want clean water? Sure. Do we want clean air? Yeah. But there was actually a survey done by NBC News and someone else. They reported on it a couple weeks ago, that when you ask people, would you support a Green New Deal? They say yes. And then, would you support, what is it, a carbon tax? Right?
Yeah.
Maybe. And then you ask them, so how much of your personal wealth would you be willing to give to these types of initiatives? Support for the whole thing fell apart before $10 a month. Mm-hmm.
And there's the rub.
Everybody thinks everything's a good idea until you stick your hand in their wallet.
Yeah.
it's the same with Medicare for All.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I want all the stuff. I'd rather not pay for it. Let's get those rich guys to pay for it. They have all that money, those stupid rich people, and they're just saving. They're not doing anything with that money. Rich people do stuff with their money. They invest, and when they invest, other businesses take off, and then people have jobs, and people get to do what they want. People
yeah.
are just so eager to give away. This is like going to sound so libertarian. I apologize. But you're just so eager to give away your rights and your liberty and your choices. When you give this kind of power to the government, you're like, yeah, let's make the combustion engine illegal and do this. And okay, now all of a sudden you've got to have an agency that runs around and checks. Are you using an illegal car and you're going to get in trouble and we can't do that? And you have the best of intentions. You want to save the planet, but you've given away a bunch of your rights and a bunch of your choices. And just people I just can't believe how eager people are to sign off on that.
My thing is, I read this stuff from these proponents on Twitter that just makes me want to grab them by the front of the shirt and smack them. What are you going to do? How much are you willing to invest in floods and hurricanes and the sea rising and all this other stuff? I'm like, does anybody even remember being taught that you used to be able to walk from Russia to Alaska?
I swear.
The land masses have been moving forever.
Yes. There once was a giant ice bridge, and then it yes. went away, and the plates are shifting, mm-hmm. and they're constantly going. It drives me crazy, because I remember reading about the ice age and glaciers, mm-hmm. and then they don't know why, but suddenly they started to recede, and then in the 1970s, yep. they're coming back. It's going to be another ice age, and it's
and just, I mean, there were many ice ages in the 1600s and the 1800s.
Yeah, the best case that I've ever heard for man-made climate change, mm-hmm. I learned from doing research for my show on the History Channel, because Christopher Columbus and those guys, when they discovered America, he didn't really discover it. People have been coming here for a very, very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And these sailors and these guys on these ships, they knew they were getting close to North America because you could smell the fires. There was so many Indians, and they were going through so much wood. Mm-hmm. Then eventually the Indians got sick. Somebody carried a disease over. And then there was a huge, it just wiped out 90% of the population. Well, around that time, they were keeping track of the weather in England, those guys. Today it was sunny and the barometer was blah, blah, blah. So there was 2 years after the Native Americans really got wiped out by disease, and they weren't chopping down as many trees because they just didn't need the wood and blah, 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 blah. They had two really wacky years without a summer in England because there was just so much new growth going. They think that those two things were tied together. That's the only real evidence. And then it got cold. They even got that wrong. It's so much new stuff was growing. The planet cooled off. So,
well, here's my thing.
Yeah.
Could the climate be getting warmer overall? Maybe.
Yes.
I'm not going to say it's not. Could some of that be due to human beings? Sure. I could buy that. Here's what I'm not going to buy. Completely destroying our economy, taking us back to the effective Middle Ages. You'll be heating your house with wood shortly. I don't know. Would that even be allowed?
Yeah.
And they say that we could have, due to climate change, a 10% reduction in GDP by 2100. Our GDP would be so much larger at that point that the 10% wouldn't even matter. And like you said, the government didn't make the light bulb. The only thing that solves some of these problems, especially in terms of how we produce energy, is ingenuity in the private sector, period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that way you get a bunch of I don't even know. We were talking about Solyndra, and the government's okay, solar panels, Solyndra, here's all this money, blah, 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 blah. But how many people are doing stuff in the private sector? Mm-hmm. Elon Musk, just what he's done in solar powers and what he's done with batteries. And
yep.
then you look at those mines. Boy, you look into lithium mines. You want to get bummed out. You want to get bummed out fast. Google some images of lithium mines. That's an environmental nightmare right there. It's all so depressing. It's all just so depressing. But I believe in the private sector. I believe that solutions will come. They're not going to come from big government. I'm right there with Ronald Reagan when those are the most terrifying words you're ever going to hear. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Yikes. Run, run, screaming. Okay, I'm looking at my watch. We've got time now for the interview. We're going to bring in Paul Hare. We got him on the phone. We're going to talk. He's an author. And this is what I love about theLoftusParty.com. There's authors. There's painters. There's photographers. You guys, it's a site for everybody. Paul does some wonderful stuff at theLoftusParty.com. He's an amazing dude. He's got a new book out, him and some buddies. It's Appalling Stories 2. So here is my interview with Paul Hare. As promised, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. You know him, you love him from theLoftusParty.com and from his books. He's a writer. He's an all-around great guy. He's got awesome taste in Instagram. We got Paul Hare with us. How's it going, Paul?
Great, Michael. How are you?
I'm good, dude. I'm good. I'm a little tired. I'm in New York. I go back to L.A. today, but it was a fantastic week. It was a fantastic week. I want to jump right in. I want to talk about your books, because this is what I think is really cool about theLoftusParty.com. We have like legit authors, and it's not just like regular stuff. So let's just get people a running start. Let's talk about Appalling Stories.
Yes. This is a series of books. There's two now.
And yeah.
They're anthologies, and they're along the line of the old pulp fiction, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. You know, everybody collects those covers now. Those are like highly collectible covers. I love the racy, you know, chick with her shirt getting torn off and there's some alien chasing her or something.
Exactly right. In fact, our first anthology has pretty much that on the cover. If you go to Amazon, you can see it. You can check it out. And we wanted to do that because we thought, those are the kinds of stories we liked. But if you think about it, who else is going to publish something like that today?
Yeah, no doubt. Now these are a little different. This isn't just like straight up like science fiction or whatever. There's a little bit more meat to it, right? These are like politically driven?
To a degree. One of the things we wanted to make sure of was they had to be entertained. That was the first and foremost thing. But yes, we did actually make a conscious effort to put elements into the stories that you just wouldn't find anywhere else. So when you think about everything has to be centered on, well, publishers now want it to be very, we'll just say they want everything to be very diverse, and they want outcomes to have a certain certain outcome. And yeah, you just cannot do stuff. You think about it all the time. I mean, you work in the comedy world, and there's stuff you can't say today that you were able to say even as short as 5 or 10 years ago.
You know what? The
same thing with publishing.
It's too funny. Like, I found myself last night on stage. I was working at this club, Governors, and like mentally, like I find myself using like racier words just because like people have told me I couldn't. Right? Like I talk. Never mind. It's off the track, but it's like I'm turning into an Archie Bunker. I'm turning into an Archie Bunker. So hey, who wrote this with you?
Well, we started off with just three of us. It was me, and then there's another author called Dave Dubrow, and he actually wrote for the Loftus Party for a little bit a few years back.
I know that guy.
Yes, you do. And then we have a third author, which is Ray Zasek. Those were we three. Who were the original authors. And the reason we started it is it's always hard. There's two things that it's hard to find when you're trying to collaborate with somebody. You got to find somebody who says they want to do it. And then you got to find, the next thing is you got to find people who will follow through with doing that. And that can be very hard to find.
I find that to be the case as well.
You know, it's great to have enthusiasm, but you have to have the follow through too. Well, we found each other and it worked out. So we were able to say, this is what we wanted to do. Here are our deadlines. Let's do it. And we did it. And it was a lot of fun. So for the sequel, we did it again. And we brought in, I think we got somewhere around 6 or 7 other authors for the sequel.
And
the sequel we just published this past December. And you'll recognize at least, well, you should recognize some of the names on there. Or the Loftus Party audience should recognize names as well. Again, the three of us. And then there's an author called Mike Barron. Do you know who Mike Barron is?
I do not. Who's Mike Barron?
Mike Barron made his name in comic books. He created a comic book superhero, and he created it with an artist named Steve Rude. The superhero is called Nexus.
Okay.
Nexus was, I guess, came about in the early 80s. And actually, Mike's still writing, he's still doing Nexus. I think he has a novel coming out of it soon. So that was one of the authors we got. We got a guy named Warner Todd Houston. He writes at Breitbart. And then we got a guy named John Delaraz. He's a science fiction author.
And yeah.
Like I said, we have a bunch of other authors as well. So that was part of the sequel. And again, we did put some stuff that would be, well, the easiest way to say it is there's some politically incorrect elements in there, but it's focused on story.
Yeah. Now, with like the politically incorrect stuff, would that be more to like period pieces? Are you like you're writing a story that takes place in the 50s, so that was the reality in the 50s? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, but we didn't really do that. And it's good you asked that, because now I'll get into some of the stories. And I'm going to focus on mine, because I'll admit I'm biased towards mine.
So there you go. You got to love your own stuff.
That's right. I mean, if I'm not promoting it, if I'm not hyping it, who else is, right? So the story that I contributed to the second anthology, which would be Appalling Stories 2, is called The Order That Changed the World. And what this is about is the United States finally gets its wish, or not the United States, but some people finally get their wish, and they ban guns. And then the story examines what happens after that. What happens when a few people decide, well, we're not going to give up our guns. And that's the heart of the story right there. So it's a theme, or there's a plot point that you wouldn't necessarily find in stories from mainstream publishers, but it's not a sermon. It's an actual interesting story. And it contains elements that are fun to read. You're not even going to realize it's a politically incorrect story. If you pick it up, you're just going to have a good time reading it. And it's got an exciting ending, and it relates to stuff that's going on in the world right now. And you'll find stories like that throughout. And some of the stories are set in the here and now. We've got a story that's set in the future in space. We've got other sci-fi stories. We got one where it involves, I think you've talked about on the Loftus Party, sex robots. Well, we've sort of got something like that in the second
book
too. So these stories can go anywhere from modern day realistic stories to science fiction and anywhere else in between.
That's great. Now, see, this is great. This is because like with an anthology and there's a collection and different, you know, people contributing. Did you read someone's story and just go, damn it, that's a great idea. I wish I would have done that. What story is in there that you're like jealous of? You're like, crap, I wish I would have thought of that.
Mike Barron wrote a story, and it's called, let me pull it up here just so I make sure that I've got the story, the title exactly right. It's the last story in the second anthology, and it's called Trail of the Loathsome Swine. I'll say that again since I messed it up. Trail of the Loathsome Swine. He wrote that, and it's a great first-person story. In other words, the narrator of the story is the character in the story. And if you ever read Huck Finn, you know Huckleberry Finn, where it's written like they speak in that dialect. It kind of has that vibe in it. It's set in the present day. It's in the South. It starts off where some kid's sister gets killed by a pig, and he goes on a vengeance hunt for it. But it doesn't turn out exactly necessarily as you think it will, and it's kind of humorous. And I think that's one of I'm biased towards my story, but that's another one of the great stories in the second volume.
That's fantastic. Man, and then I'm thinking, I love the thing, like, it's a world without guns, but, like, some people held on to them. That's a great idea. Like, that's, like, you realize, like, who's the guy from Key and Peele is bringing back the Twilight Zone. That's a world without guns where some people have decided to hold onto their guns. That's fantastic stuff.
It is, and that's actually not a bad comparison. If you're going to compare it to something, the Twilight Zone is not a bad thing. Because if you think about it, okay, the Twilight Zone's entertaining, but didn't they always have messages in those stories? They always had some sort of message about, and this is what's going to happen if we don't get nuclear weapons under control. When the guy's living, you know, what was the story where the guy was in a nuclear post-apocalyptic world and he finally had time to read his book, so then he breaks books, stuff like that. I mean, that's a message story if you think about it, but it's entertaining too.
They all were. I hate it when they tried to bring the Twilight Zone back, like in the late 90s, and they all had like happy endings. It all like worked out. It's like, oh, we're trapped between moments in time, but oh, we figured it out. We're out of here. We're back to normal. I was like, no, man, the Twilight Zone's supposed to be eerie. It's supposed to be, you know, shocking. You gotta have a twist. You can't have happy endings.
Exactly.
In a Twilight Zone. So you've done two of these. You've done the Appalling Stories. You got Appalling Stories 2 that's out now. All this stuff is available on Amazon. Have you ever done like any long form stuff? Like, do you have your own novels? Because that's like the next thing on my list. I want to write a book. Have you done anything like that?
I helped Ghost write a long form nonfiction. I did not complete the novel. I haven't completed a novel yet. I kind of wanted to do that. The reason for the short stories is that was two things. I wanted to get it out, and I figure we kind of live in a world where everything has to be done in 5 minutes or less. People want short stuff. So I thought, for me, in anthology, you can read these things in 5 to 10 minutes, and it's not just that. You're buying one book. You're getting 10 stories in our second one, 13 in the original ones, and they're all from different authors. To me, that's a great deal because you get short reads, and then you get a variety of different stories too. But I agree. I would like to write the novel or a longer book someday too, but we got to get the need to sell these two anthologies. This is a big thing. We want to get them sold, get people excited for more stuff. Let us know what they liked. Let us know what they didn't like. Want them to leave reviews on Amazon too, of course, because that's always a big thing. But highly encourage your listeners. Not only is this good for me, but if you like what we're doing at the Loftus Party or here on the podcast, it's important for people to go out and buy these books and review them, because that's going to help me to stay involved and keep contributing to the Loftus Party as well.
Yeah, it is. That's a big deal. And like, I'll say that at the end of the podcast all the time. Like, if you're new, go to iTunes, leave a review. It's like busting through that algorithm that is iTunes, or busting through the algorithm that is like the review system on Amazon, and supporting like artists. I don't want to get too full of myself, but like artists and authors on the right. I think it's insanely important that we, you know, support the community. Everybody's like, you know, there's no creative people on the right. No one's doing anything. There's no painters. There's no authors. And like, no, there's tons. There's lots of good stuff out there. We just got to support one another. Hey, tell me a little bit. There's this girl, Martina, and I don't want to screw up her last name. Do you know who I'm talking?
It's Markota, as far as I know.
Yeah, Markota. Now, is she in the comic book world as well? Does she have like a graphic novel she's coming out with?
She does, because she used Indiegogo, I think it was Indiegogo, to crowdfund for it. And she hit her goals.
So actually, wow.
I think she way surpassed her goals. So she's working on that too. That's kind of something where listeners can go to the Loftus Party. We've written about her a few times, and I probably will write another post about her too, using her Instagram account. Because that kind of actually tells her story. She has two of them, because she's a performance artist, so one's under her performance artist name. But that kind of gives a better idea of her story too. And she's doing, I think she's done a lot of stuff that's what people, and I'll still use the term people on the right, even though I'm beginning to like that term less and less, just for a variety of different reasons. But people on the right should be doing, because I'm with the one of the things that attracted me to what you're doing at the Loftus Party is what you just said is, look, the conservative movement has made an industry for as long as I've been an adult of complaining about what's wrong with things.
Yeah.
How many people have you seen actually go out there and offer an alternative? That's what you're doing, and that's what we're doing at the Loftus Party. We're saying, okay, we'll still talk about what we see as being wrong, but we've got the Deplorables Comedy Tour now. That's going out and doing something about it. We've got this podcast. We've got the website. Not only do we do the normal stuff on the website, but I've been publishing flash fiction stories on there too. So I'm literally giving something there on the website that you won't find anywhere else on any website that I know. And we're doing that thing what people should be doing. We're now producing content, creative content. And that's why I kind of, Markota kind of caught my eye, because she's been doing that for a long time too. And it's good to try to support other people who are doing what we want to be doing.
Yeah, you know what? I tell you what, I just was like, it's wild to hear somebody else, you know, say it out loud. But you're exactly, you crushed it. You nailed it. Because there's tons of complaint websites. there's tons of righteous anger and righteous indignation. But yeah, like I really dig that we're you know, trying to support and help out and draw focused, and we're not being snobs. If this is the first time you're tuning into the podcast, God bless you. But like the other wacky thing about the LoftusParty.com is there is like a social media type of an aspect. If you go to the site and you sign in, you can create a post and you can post something. So if you're like, oh, here I am, you know, I'm sitting in Dubuque and I have a wonderful little piece of fiction that I wrote. Well, for the love of God, go to the website and post it, and we'll take a look. And if as long as it's not some kind of call to arms or World War III, you could probably make it on the main page. It's like I'm talking about strippers now. Make it to the main page.
Right, exactly. And it doesn't have to be a book length or even an article length thing. It can just be, you know what, I found something neat here, or this is what I found. I've tried to even think of things like that myself to try to show people. One of the things I found is I've been burning wood as a supplemental heat source this winter. I was thinking of doing maybe a small post about you really do need to use seasoned wood if you're going to heat, because if you use green wood, it doesn't work at all. And I wanted to keep it short. Something like that. It can be anything like, you know, even of, hey, I was, you know, I had this great idea for my neighborhood and how to keep the trash off the street, and here's what I did. Just anything like that. It could be, you know, something where I saw this new story that entertained me. It can be quick or it can be a little bit longer. I think we have one contributor who's been putting some recipes. That takes a little bit more time, which is great. We like that, but it can be something even shorter than that.
Yeah, that's glory. And then you know what? And I got to put it up. Like I found on Twitter, there's this dude, Terrence K. Williams, and he's one of the comics on the Deplorable show, the tour. And he turned me on to a couple pieces of new music. And I got to do that later before I go to the airport. I got to go on YouTube and I'm just going to post the video for this. And like, because I'm like, I got to turn more people on to this great music that I found. It's silly. It's stupid, but hey, like it is, it's a wacky little community, and it's growing, which has me very excited. So, it turns out you and I are fans of an actress. You posted a thing the other day about, Monica Bellucci.
Do you know who she is? Have you seen her before?
Oh, dude, I, when she was in The Matrix 2. I think she was in the sequel. That's where she came into the story. She just like, she stole every scene she was in. I think that woman is just amazing. And much like you, I'm like, why is she not all over American cinema? She's fantastic.
Absolutely. To me, I would have her in pretty much just about everything. I'd cast her in just about everything. Like I said, in the post, she's now mid-50s, and she's still
really?
And she's still beautiful.
Italian don't crack.
That's exactly right. and when you think of Italian, who else do you think of? Sophia Loren, right? That's one of the first actresses I think of. And Bellucci, underutilized, as I put in the post that I wrote at the Loftus Party. To me, I'd figure out a way. If you don't have a part for her, create one. That's what I would do.
I tell you what, a buddy of mine has a screenplay about a world without guns, and Monica Bellucci, she holds on to hers. That's what, and she takes me prisoner. Never mind. Hey, I just went way off book. I tell you what, man, I'm trying to think about other movies you could cast her in, but she is such a screen presence and so completely awesome. What are you guys going to do in an Appalling Stories 3, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, that's exactly right, because this is why I wanted to be on the podcast too. People have to buy the book and they have to leave reviews. That's what's going to determine if there's another anthology of Appalling Stories. And we have to get out there. We know there's a lot of noise. We know there's a lot of competition, but we have to get people to buy it. That's a big thing. We know we have to promote it. That's why I'm here. We know we have to get people excited about it, but that's the only way that there will be a third anthology of Appalling Stories.
Yeah, I know. Have you? I'm sure you've heard of this guy, Neil Gaiman. the author. He's everything that he writes. He did American Gods. He's done a ton of stuff. He has a collection of like stories, but it's very cool. It's like him and other authors that he knows. And I just like that you guys do this. I like that there's like a community of you know, people who know each other and like, all right, this will be the theme and we'll call it Appalling Stories. And then, ooh, then we'll do this one and here's the theme and it's Appalling Stories too. I just want it to keep going. I want it to keep going, and I want Hollywood to take note. I want somebody to get a movie deal out of this.
Well, that'd be great too. And like I said, we need sales. I'd also like to. I might want to put up a post or two on Loftus Party to try to get people to say, "Here's what we want to see. If we are going to do fiction, here's what we would like to see you guys do." That might be an idea, so we can get some feedback, and then we can tell. Well, okay, now we got something here, an idea to do. Let's go do it, and let's get the Loftus Party audience to buy it.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we do that. Or maybe, like, I wonder if it would be worth it to, like, highlight one of the stories, you know? Because, like, I tell you what, that's just such a great jumping-off point. It's a world without guns, and then somebody decides to hold on to theirs. Dude, I'm in love with that one.
I'm going to get a post up about that on the Loftus Party this week.
That is awesome. All right. Well, you're gonna post that. I'm gonna put some stuff up about this music. I think it's time for some more hot patriots that I've found on Instagram. And you guys, this is I'm so glad that Paul that you joined us and we're talking about Appalling Stories too and people running out and grabbing it, which they should. I understand Amazon will even deliver it to your door.
That's what they say. It's a new thing now. I hear
all the kids are doing it. But yeah, we're encouraging everyone, just come in, contribute, throw your hat in the ring, and don't worry that it's not good enough. Don't worry that, oh, this, that, and that. Just jump in, man. Just jump in. That is the creative process. Paul, dude, I really appreciate your time. Congratulations on Appalling Stories and Appalling Stories 2. And we're looking for more great stuff. Dude, I will talk to you very soon. Cool?
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Take care, buddy.
Yep. Bye.
Just give it a few seconds and we can start up again.
Lovely.
Ready in five.
Hold on. Let me blow my nose. So gross. Oh, my gosh. And I got a cold. My body's like, if we're going to do this kind of stuff, at least get some sleep. I'm like, there's going to be no sleep. And my body's like, okay, then you're going to have a cold. How about that?
No, you need to get some,
Lovin'?
NRC.
Emergency.
Start taking that if you're going to travel a lot.
I love the emergency. Let's talk about that. Let's come back.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And that makes me happy. You guys are going to get angry at me for saying it, but I just love the fact that like there's like legitimate authors on the site that are contributing to the site. I love Paul Hare. I like that he's got the Appalling Stories and Appalling Stories 2, and I want to help that dude sell some books. Go to Amazon, pick that up, leave the dude a review. So we're back for another 20 minutes of the podcast, rounding it out in all things that are, I apologize for how I sound. I realize I didn't apologize for that. Like right at the top, I've got a super annoying cold. I just been traveling too hard. I've been working too hard, getting up too early, doing too much stuff. My nose is just god awful. And then I got the dry lip thing. So
ew.
If you look at. Yeah, so what I did is I got this like little thing of, you know, you put the Vaseline on your lips. I don't like the chapstick.
What?
So I do the
Eos.
I do Vaseline lip therapy.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the Eos.
I've
when
never
it comes
even
in
heard
the little ball.
Eos. Oh, see, like you're a hip chick. I don't even know. I don't even know.
Oh,
what
it's
that
the
is.
Best.
Well, I'll try it next. But here's my point. My point is my lips are all red and shiny. I looked at the clip of me on Fox and Friends over the weekend. I'm like, am I wearing lipstick? Like, who is this weird person on the television?
The makeup girl got a hold of you.
Oh, my gosh. They have. You know, you ask somebody how they're doing. You're like, hey, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, pretty good. How you doing? They have this I believe she's Puerto Rican, and she does the hair at Fox. And so it's like 6:30 in the morning, and I feel like garbage, but I'm pretending to be, you know, upbeat and positive, yada yada. And I go, hey, how you doing? She's like, fantastic. And like, she was so loud and so optimistic. And so I'm like, I've never had somebody. And then I'm like, really, you're fantastic. She's like, yes, I'm fantastic. Some days I lie. I'm not fantastic. And I say I'm fantastic. But today I'm fantastic. She was the most lovely person I had ever met. And I was so happy. She was fantastic. She was absolutely fantastic.
Well, so. Is it different? I guess that would be different. I guess you don't get makeup and stuff when you go to the closet in L.A.?
No. It's. Listen, I love those guys. There's a little skeleton crew in L.A. There's like two dudes. Yeah, there is no makeup. You better hope you look good when you go in there. And it's the most interesting little place ever. I can't wait to see those guys again. But yeah, there's no hair and makeup in the L.A. Freedom Closet of Satellite
One. Freedom Closet.
So this is funny. Because I'm staying in a hotel, I'm flying back to Los Angeles later on tonight. I actually, you know, they give you the USA Today. I haven't looked at USA Today in years. And this is just fantastic. Because earlier on the show, we were talking about the Green New Deal. On the cover of the USA Today, the cover, the front page, the weekend edition. The big story is deaths, long waits, and bed sores. How the VA hospitals rate. So there you go.
Medicare for all.
Right, exactly. So President Trump and his crew, they're legitimately trying to change the VA. Mm-hmm. They have made some good changes. They're moving in the right direction. However, it's a big, giant government boondoggle. And you've got all these people. Oh, Medicare for all, Medicare for all. And yeah, as soon as somebody says Medicare for all, I immediately go to, well, how's the VA doing?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they ain't doing too good. It ain't doing too good. Oh my gosh. Are you going to watch the Grammys?
No.
Are those tonight?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch either. I love that Cardi B and Tommy Lahren are fighting. I like that. And it's so funny to watch people pick sides. I've picked my side. I'm on Team Tommy. I'm on Team Tommy.
I stay out of all of those because then you had Tommy and Candace Owens fighting, and then you get people on the right doing it to each other, and it's just like, stop. Stop.
I will say this, and this is all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
When Tommy and Candace Owen fight, it always ends pretty quickly, and Candace usually wins. That's all I'm going to say. But the Cardi B thing, here's what Cardi B, she's like two conversations away from being a total Republican, and she doesn't even know it. That's the hilarious part to me. Like, half her tweets and half her Instagram posts are bitching about Tommy Lahren, and then the other half are her bitching about her taxes are too damn high and how the government's not working and why is she paying all this money and she owes the IRS money. And you're like, hey, Cardi, you're a conservative. You think your taxes are too high and you think the government's wasting your money. Welcome aboard. You're going to be the keynote speaker at the Republican National Convention. Okay, I saw this. I thought this happened over the weekend. I thought this was hilarious. Did you watch any of the Matthew Whitaker testimony in front of that congressional panel or whatever?
I did not.
Oh, you missed it. You missed it. So this guy's the temporary. He's the acting attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got like five more days left on his contract. And you have all these Democrats, like, trying to hold his feet to the fire. And did you ever talk about pardons with the president? Did you collude with Russia? Yeah, I'm sure he's going to confess now. I'm sure he's going to confess right before he leaves. Like, even if he was guilty, I'll even take the Democrats. Oh, he's guilty of sin. Oh, yeah, you'll bust him on live TV 4 days before he's in the free and clear. It was just ridiculous. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And it's just like all these guys, it's just a show. It's just a show. These Democrats, and they go like, I'm going to ask the hard questions. And all they're doing is getting footage for their reelection campaigns. That's all they're doing.
Well, I'm actually kind of looking forward, because I'm sadistic, to the entire Democratic nomination process, just based on the opposition research that's already dropping through friendly media outlets.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Democratic nominations. It's these panels, these like little like congressional panels that are just a joke and just an absolute waste of time. But yeah, listen, Gypsy, I'm looking to you big time for the Democrats who are running, because you and your crew, you've got your like news weasels all over it. You guys actually study and look and do research. It's weird.
Did you see the screen cap from Google search that was floating around today?
No.
Oh my God. So Elizabeth Warren does her big announcement that apparently her exploratory committee, which must be made up of complete morons, has decided she should run. And so she's actually going to. So she has her big to-do. And for a brief moment, more people were searching Elizabeth Warren than rock formations.
I'm confused. I'm confused. Explain.
So she's doing her big announcement saying, yes, my exploratory committee is done and I'm actually going to run for president. While she was doing that, she was only slightly more popular on the search engines than rock formations.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So she wasn't even a blip on the radar.
She had a little blip that went above rock formations, and then it went down well below again.
That's hilarious. That woman, she's going to keep trying. She's going to keep trying. And I can't believe, like, she legit got busted last week. She's always been like, yes, I'm a Native American, but no, I never used it for personal gain. And you're like, well, didn't you use it to get your job at Harvard? Okay, I did it that time, but that's the only time I ever used it. And now they found her, like, application to law school where she's like, yep, I'm Native American. Okay, I just did it those two times. But I took the DNA test. What does it show? Well, I'm not even Native American. Like, how can she still, she's got no shame, like zero shame.
You know who's more Native American than she is?
Anyone on the planet. Who?
Cory Booker.
Oh, that guy. That
he
guy.
He actually had DNA. And this week, his Canadian model girlfriend had me near falling out of the chair.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
I tweeted that.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, yeah, his girlfriend's a model and she lives in Canada. That's why we've never met her.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That guy, I find him. He's a member of like that Sunshine Coalition. He's just so fakey earnest. I cannot stand it. I have a really, really bad reaction to Cory Booker because he thinks he's good. He thinks he's crushing it. He thinks he has everyone fooled. He's got a handful of little faces that he makes. He does this thing with his eyebrow, and he acts like this is the hardest thing I've ever had to think of. My brain is working so hard because I care so much. And you're like, no, dude, you need to go back to acting class. You are a failure. You are a failure. I saw him giving a speech the other night. He was in some church basement talking to people about the Green New Deal and how America steps up. And that's how we defeated the Nazis. That's how we defeated the Nazis. And that's how we got to the moon. And he's literally pounding his chest. He is literally pounding his chest. He is a buffoon and an idiot. And I can't believe he's still in politics. All these people.
He's definitely one of those people where you can see the gears turning while he's talking.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's like, it's that Hillary Clinton thing where, oh, I was asked a question about this. What did my aide tell me the statistics were and the polling data? And now I have to say I'm for this and I have to rationalize my decision. They don't believe the garbage that's flying out of their mouth.
Well, The only one who I think comes out on stage is in exactly who she is, including the resting bitch face, is Kamala Harris.
Okay, let's just talk knee-jerk reactions to her. She scares me. I'm afraid of her.
You should be. Did you hear that one speech where she was like, I was the prosecutor, the school district was over here, they had the carrot, and I had the stick, so we just basically harassed this mother till her kid went to school.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And she has like a long track history of like hiding evidence that would have exonerated people,
mm-hmm.
like locking up innocent people. She was only
the AG because she slept with Willie Brown. He said it in an article.
Yes. She's like the villain in a science fiction movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, like you look at her backstory and like, wow, she will do anything to
mm-hmm.
win. She will do, you can't send me to jail. I'm an innocent man. No, you don't understand. I need to send 200 people to prison if I hope to become the attorney general. So
right.
You're going away. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. all. And then when they wrap it up for it's all for the greater good, it's just terrifying, terrifying. And Virginia is a mess. Virginia
oh
is a
my
mess.
God.
I didn't want to forget to talk about that. Good Lord in heaven. Is there any elected official in the state of Virginia that can, like, my joke on Fox and Friends is, like, they're going to be down to the janitor. By the end of the weekend, the janitor will be the governor of Virginia. It's like, hey, you with the mop, you're in. Everyone else has done blackface or raped somebody.
Here's my official stance. I do not think that things you did in high school and college are necessarily indicative of the person you are 35 years later and a whole different set of accomplishments, aside from being, like, illegal and stuff like that.
Yes.
However, and I would never do that. I would never go dig like that on somebody. 'Cause it, you know, if you're somebody who has a public record, you have a public record. What does it look like? However,
yeah.
The left made these rules, and I will enforce them until they knock it off. I don't enjoy it, but I will.
and here's what I want to know. Like, how mad is Ed Gillespie today? Like, Ed Gillespie, the former Republican National Committee chair,
mm-hmm.
that he ran for governor, he had to have had the worst research team in the history of politics.
Like, well, it's not like just that. How many times was he called a racist?
Yes, yes. And it's like when you're called a racist, don't you go to your research team and go, hey, see if there's something on the other guy? They keep calling me a racist. Maybe there's something in his past. And like they didn't crack a yearbook. They didn't look like that's a game changer. If
well,
that's what I'm saying.
You know why it came to
so
light?
Mad at his team. Why?
Because somebody he went to med school with was so pissed off over his comments about infanticide.
Yeah.
That he sent it to the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that whole thing, I was talking about that a little bit on stage, just a little bit on stage. And it was very heartwarming because the audience went crazy.
They really?
Went crazy. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm at Governor's and I'm like, you know, I'm making fun of Nancy Pelosi and oh, and she's sucking on her tooth like the winning lottery numbers are going to come out. And she's sitting behind the president with a stack of menus from the Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, what was that?
That was crazy. That was crazy.
And then her clap?
Yeah, like, yeah. And that wasn't sarcasm. She wasn't making fun of the president. That was like a legit crazy old lady, I've had too many prescription meds clap.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah, and like none of the late night shows made fun of it. And then now they're trying to say how it's this empowerment clap, whatever. But
she was throwing him shade. No, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't. Grandma doubled up on her meds.
Yeah.
It was a miracle she could stand. But like my thing was, she calls the wall immoral. The wall is immoral. Oh, killing a baby, though, that's fine. You can actually kill a
right.
live baby. And then people don't even get mad about killing a live baby. They get mad about a blackface thing. They get mad about a poor choice of a Halloween costume. Like,
yep.
Where are our priorities? Excuse me, but I think, can we just focus on keeping the babies alive?
Right.
And the audience went crazy. They just went crazy. Yeah, these New Yorkers, They're not thrilled with Albany. And then you've got to be it's so disheartening that these elected officials, these people that you have to represent you, not only do they legalize like killing babies, but then they start lighting up buildings pink, like, look what we did, look what we did.
Well, I don't remember the exact date frame, but sometime in the last few months, a gentleman stabbed his girlfriend who was 5 months pregnant, killing both his girlfriend and the baby. And up until last week, he was charged with killing the baby, but the new law in New York got him out of those charges.
That was a very big, that's been all over the local news here, all over the local news here. That's, yeah, he didn't kill two people, he just killed one person.
He just killed one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now, like, and literally, like, if he says he did it in a fit of rage or blah, 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 maybe he, you know, he pleads down to manslaughter and okay, you get 8 years in prison because you did this thing, but because of prison overcrowding, you get four, and oh, because you were a good prison, you're going to get out in two. It is not good, and it just surprises me that, like, the outrage wasn't over, hey, they want to kill babies in Virginia. No, it's like, wow, that guy had a poor choice of Halloween costume.
Well, and what I found even more interesting is up till today, in fact, no Democrat in Washington, D.C. heard what Northam said. So when you ask Nancy Pelosi, what do you think about Governor Northam's comments on, you know, infanticide? Oh, I didn't hear them. Kamala Harris. Yes, I didn't listen.
I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it. Really? Yeah. You might want to go out and take a listen, because when you all voted against Senator Sasse's Born Alive bill, you kind of told us what you thought.
It's horrifying. It's just horrifying, and that's to me is like that's a step too far. That's where the independence. You don't a rational human being, just like whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're in the middle. You don't know how you're going to go, but a rational human being is like, hey, so there's a baby, and it's 9 months old, and it's about to enter the world. Can you kill it? They'd be like, no. Why would you do that?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's the crazy part. All right, we're coming into the home stretch here. I want to shine a little bit of light on this, because I'm a silly human being, but like Justin Bieber is married to Hailey Bieber from the I think what is she's with the Baldwin clan, but now she's Hailey Bieber. I think they've been married for 30 seconds, and they just sat down with Vogue magazine to talk about the struggles of marriage and how hard marriage is. Yes. Yes, and here's the quote. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it's all a magical fantasy. It's always going to be hard. It's a choice. You don't feel it every single day. You don't wake up every day saying, I'm absolutely so in love and you are perfect. That's not what being married is. But there's something beautiful about it anyway, about wanting to fight for something, commit to building with someone. That's what Hailey Bieber said about being married. Like, listen.
Get back to me in 30 years.
Exactly. They've been married for a hot minute. Oh,
I think this is called the honeymoon period, isn't it?
Yes. Like, what are you worried about? What are you worried? Are you worried about money? Justin, are we doing okay financially? I think we're down to $1 billion. Okay.
It's the honeymoon period. They're supposed to wake up thrilled every day.
Exactly. I can't keep my hands off her. I'm so in love. This is the best. Oh my gosh. Let's pick out some new whatever. That's hilarious.
She's not Alec Baldwin's kid, is she?
No, it's not Alec.
Oh, okay.
Stephen Baldwin's
kid.
But yeah, that's just funny. Yeah, Justin and Haley, they're really struggling. They're really struggling with their future. You guys, it's a great show. It was a fun show. I apologize for my cold. I apologize for being run down. I think one day of sleep, like 24 hours of solid sleep. Oh, more good news. Taco Bell's going to deliver. Taco Bell is going to deliver.
To you right now?
No, but
okay.
The chain just announced that they're going to start a delivery service. And if you're too lazy to go to Taco Bell, hey, come on. That's the joke. Really? If you're so high you can't make it to Taco Bell, you need to reevaluate some life choices.
I was going to say, you I haven't eaten Taco Bell since I was about 20.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I love it so much. And I have a secret little menu There's a dollar menu at Taco Bell. I totally forgot that. And the last couple trips ago, I took a look and I'm like, what? And I ordered a couple of things and like, this is the best value on the planet. This is the best value on planet Earth. It was so delicious. I ate like a king, and I think I was only down like $3.
Nice.
Yeah. Like literally, I would order, like now that I'm talking about it, I would have it delivered. I started this off to make fun of people that have Taco Bell delivered, and as I'm discussing it, I'm like, that sounds delicious.
Right.
I think I might have them call and deliver it. Okay. Lots of big happenings. Next week, the Deplorable Show kicks off. We're in Albany on Albany. Albany.
There you go.
On Friday, New York, Albany. It's Albany, Cleveland, and Nashville. Albany is on the 15th, and
then there we go to Cleveland.
I'll get to see my old Ohio friends in Cleveland, and then Nashville. I get to hopefully I can hang out with some old country music folks, but that'll be great. I hope to see you at a Deplorable Show. Stop. Make sure you go get your tickets because so far they've all sold out. Again, another thank you to the Patreons, and I love the way things are going. I have a very optimistic view on the future, and the website's going great, and the Facebook's blowing up, and the YouTube's blowing up. It's all good and Albany, and then we'll have another guest for you next week. It's fantastic. You guys are the best. We'll talk to you soon.